with my man Nicholas Lane. But real quick, before we move on with him, I want to let everybody know the number here for the hotline. You can call in. It's 727-565-1585. If you want to call in during the segment and question me or Nicholas with anything, you can also hit us up on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports. And you can hit me up personally at Token Wild or Mr. Nicholas Lane at N Lane Hold'em AA. So now that I got that all out the way, what's going on, Nicholas?
Hey, good evening. Thank you for having me on a little early tonight. I appreciate that. Good to be on.
Yeah, man. Hey, no problem. You know how it is, man. Hey, things happen. So we're getting you in early, man. Gotta keep the segment going. So hey, we got some free time here. So we gonna get it started, man. So what's up?
Well, it's pretty quiet, I would say, in the NBA world. There's only a couple of things that have been brought up. That small rumor about Carmelo to the Pelicans. We have the NBA Africa game that happened over the weekend.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And then we had Michael Beasley signing with the Knicks. So it's kind of our yearly talk about where Michael Beasley signed a one-year deal to.
Yeah, man, that Michael Beasley. I guess it's good if you're him and you're just looking to keep your career going. It's nice to be able to find a job somewhere, but as a player, at some point, wouldn't you think, you know, you would get a little bit tired of every year constantly moving around and not really finding that home where you could be secure for a few years?
I completely agree. I think it has to get tired. I mean, at the same time, he still has a job. He's a player in the league. He still has a job. And he, you know, if somehow Carmelo Anthony could get traded, all of a sudden he can get thrust into a lot of minutes for that. So it certainly could be beneficial for him. You know, I did predict last year when the Milwaukee Bucks traded for him that he would do well, and he did average 9 points a game for him. So, you know, he can still play. I think he's a lot more mature than he used to be. So when a team signs him to a one-year deal, I feel nowadays it's actually, I would say it's a pretty positive signing.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, you know, because he was a pretty high pick, you know, for a guy that's all, you know, a journeyman. And like you said, early on in his career, he did have some issues, immaturity wise, that probably had hurt him and it caused him to have to go over, you know, and play overseas for a few years and mature a little bit and, you know, come back to the NBA and hopefully. You know, he's still a young guy, so to speak, so maybe he can find a home somewhere within the next few years.
I mean, it was between him and Derrick Rose in 2008 in the draft there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was a number two overall pick. It's not like we're talking about a guy in the late 20s that kind of didn't find his way, and then now he's turned into Hassan Whiteside, who's an absolute monster in Miami, who was a late first-round pick that had no maturity when he got into the league, and now he's a borderline all-star player because he had to go overseas. And, you know, Michael Beasley did go to China for a few years, and I think he has finally found a role in the league that he's a good scorer off the bench that might not give you the best defense, but he can give you some rebounds. And, you know, I think in Milwaukee he showed that he can care on the defensive end even a little bit, that he could be a little bit viable. So I feel for the Knicks, it's a nice one-year rental to see what they have in him, and I think he can actually give them a good role because they didn't really have that much of a bench last season. So and it can also prove to be a lot of minutes if somehow Carmelo Anthony does finally get traded. So which it looks like it's inevitable, but it's taking a lot of time.
Yeah, it is. You would think, well, it is taking a lot of time, but I think, you know, Carmelo Anthony's situation is so delicate, you know, because of the numbers of his contract. It's a little difficult for him to be traded, and then he has the no trade clause also, where for him to be traded, he's gonna have to waive that. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully he you know, goes somewhere where he can still be a focal point, but at the same time have some help around him to where he doesn't have to do anything. And maybe maybe at this point of his career, he decided to play a little bit of defense and help his team on the defensive side of the ball.
If he did, then it would show some versatility that he could possibly, you know, be a 36, 37-year-old that doesn't just chuck 15 shots and maybe get 3 rebounds a game when he gets to that stage in his career. So I think he's 33 right now. But I would say that it would be – I think it would be very beneficial to him if he was able to at least show some versatility on the guarding small forwards or small ball power forwards. So he can do that. And I know that ESPN had a topic today about if what kind of a fit Carmelo would be on the Pelicans. Even Smith said it would be a really bad fit. And I think I would have to agree with him on that, that him, Davis, and Cousins, I don't think would really work very well, even though that both Davis and Cousins are very good passers for their positions, that with Carmelo being kind of a me-first guy, I don't think putting him on a team that hasn't really had a whole lot of playoff experience would be a very good idea on that. Yeah. So I would say it would be pretty good if New Orleans were the passer.
All right. Well, we have a call here, so I'm going to go to the line and pick this call up and see who do we have. So, caller, state your name, where you're from, and what you want to discuss.
Hi, this is Greg in Sarasota, Florida. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning of the show. I was talking on the phone with a family member. What were you guys discussing?
We're just talking some NBA. Whatever. If you have anything, you know, to talk the ass NBA wise, or another sport. I mean, I do have Nicholas Lane on the line, but he's very diverse, so we could get his opinion on pretty much anything.
Well, what did you think about Hard Knocks?
You know what? I don't have HBO, so I haven't even seen it. Maybe Nicholas Lane can help out because I haven't seen it. So I'll pass it over to Nick. Oh, you haven't seen it either?
It's on
TampaBayBucks.com.
You can watch it, and I watched it tonight on that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll probably check it out. I mean, you know, you got Hulu.
You know, it was good. And first of all, I knew everything that was going to be in it because I was listening to Tampa Bay sports radio, so I knew every single thing that was going to be in it. But one of the things that I thought about it was that, you know, when it started out in 2001, that was the first time that we had ever seen any in-depth reporting for a training camp.
Yeah.
But now with all the major networks having their own sports network and NFL network, seeing all these stories about the training camp is not as big of a deal as it was before. Or people being caught, you know, a kind of quarterback controversy, kicking controversy, a kicking competition, I should say. It's not really a controversy. But, you know, I think they did a great job. And I think Carter came out really good at it, and so did Janice. But it was okay. And one of the things is that we have to wait till next week, but in the meantime, we can see a lot of things on different channels, in different interviews before that, in 2001.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. And this is just me. This is just me. Other people could be a little different on it, but me personally, I've never really got into watching Hard Knocks because the way I look at preseason football is a little different than a lot of other people. I don't really care what they look like in shorts and helmets. Because every year you have this team that look great in the preseason, and then they come out in the regular season and they lose 8 games in a row. And I tell people all the time, you know, the only preseason game that really matters is the third game of the season. And for some reason with the Tampa Bay fan base, the last few years, they put too much stock in the first and the second preseason games. In the third preseason game, it's really a barometer. And to me, it's just, you know, hey, if you like to go out there and watch them catch balls with not nobody covering them, or you know, like watching people play football and don't make any contact, I like hard hitting, man. I'm an old school football person. I like to hit. I like people to get hurt. I mean, that's part of football, man. You play football. I don't like going to practice and watching teams just go through the motions. I mean, I haven't been to any Bucs training camp practices, but what I've heard is they've had very little tackling, very little hitting, and I think maybe since camp started, they might have total, they probably hit for maybe an hour the whole time. I don't want to watch that, man. I mean... What you got there, Nicholas?
I would say that the things that are important to look out for when it comes to, you know, training camp is, how does Josh Huff look? How does, you know, Quiz Rogers, Charles Sims, those, you know, the Boise State running back they drafted, you know, what does the running back by committee look like before, you know, once Doug Martin comes back? I think. And you know what? How does O.J. Howard look as well? Because we already know we're getting out of Sean Jackson. That doesn't really matter, I don't think, how he looks, because he's just going to be kind of the same stretch player that we all know him as. So I think a player like, you know, can Josh Huff be the kick returner, maybe be a blazer down the field on a player to a game that they need? And will Aguayo finally be consistent? Because, I mean, he has all this talent as a kicker, but is he going to be pretty consistent? Because I don't think a guy like Nick Folk is – you don't draft Aguayo in the second round for Nick Folk to take your job and get cut in second year. So I think those are going to be very important things to look at. And kind of what's going to be behind on the defensive line and safety is where on the defensive side of the ball what will be important. So I think the offensive line is pretty solidified. Caleb Benioff will still get a reserve spot on that line too. So I think there's a couple of things to look at, but when it comes to Jameis, I mean, he deserves all the attention. I think he's definitely
Yeah. Well, you know, the quarterback is gonna always get the attention. It doesn't matter what team you're playing for, but for Jameis Winston, you know what he came into the league. You know, the weight on his shoulders that he came into the league with to prove everybody that he wasn't that guy that everybody accused him of being at Florida State. So, You know, this right here is they, I don't know if they're purposely doing it, but it's going to give everybody a different viewpoint of Jameis Winston. Those are fans that are not in the Tampa Bay area, because we see it here being in Tampa Bay. We see it daily, what he does in the community and stuff, but nationally, you know, there's still that stigma of Jameis Winston, FSU quarterback, you know, the things that he did at Florida mm-hmm. State. So this will kind of help clean that up a little bit and let people get a better view of who he really is on the day-to-day basis.
And I think it'll also show how good his work ethic is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what one of the biggest things has been raved about since he's been in the league, that he's became a leader and that his work ethic is off the charts.
Yeah.
So I think those are things that will be important for the public to see as well.
Yeah.
Well, the major thing that they brought out in the show, and the major thing that they talked about it before going into training camp, Carter has talked about is Jim is making less mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, less interceptions. I mean, that's really, to be honest with you, that's really the only thing he really needs to improve on. So at this point. So,
yeah.
He needs to get rid of the ball a little faster. Just to get rid of his fumbles that he had. I think he had 6 last season.
Yeah.
And I think with the overall talent he's going to have with the receivers and the tight end, I would be a little surprised for them to have as many interceptions as they did last year. Because I think with them having a lot of versatility in the backfield as well, that he doesn't have to throw as much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm expecting maybe 2 to 3 interceptions less, and maybe about half the fumble. Unless their offensive line is somehow not doing good, then those numbers will go up. But I expect them to be, you know, a little bit down from last year.
Yeah.
And I think they have an incredible draft, and I think Godwin
I'm going to say this about Godwin. I said it when they drafted him, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me today, but in another year or two, Godwin is going to be our best receiver. He may not be the number one guy because you're still going to have Mike Evans, and I think the connection between Evans and Jameis is going to be that, you know, he's going to get the most targets, but I feel like the best receiver on the team is going to be Godwin, and I'm gonna tell you one reason why specifically, because Godwin has that dog in him. No matter where the ball is at, no matter who's defending him, he's going to go up and get the ball at the highest point, and that's something that for me, Mike Evans is about 6'5". I don't think he does enough of utilizing his height, you know, on jump balls and stuff. But it's that natural aggressiveness to go and attack the ball and make plays and have, you know, precise route running and also game-breaking speed. So I think Gardner in about 2 years, he's going to be the man on this team as far as, you know, overall wide receiver play. I think he's our best. He's going to be our best wide receiver. And his hands is just ridiculous, so.
Derek, you said a lot of people would disagree with you, but I do not disagree with you. I agree with you 1,000% on that. I think he's going to give Deshaun a run for his money this year too. I mean, not saying that he's going to take anything away from Deshaun, but I think he's going to get some throws and some touchdowns that, you know, Jameis will find him open.
Yeah.
For that. So.
I can see him getting a lot of sideline catches and running the seam.
I think
that's where he's going to do very well at, actually.
Yeah, you know, and like he said, he won't take nothing. He's not going to take, you know, targets away, but I think his ability to be able to play inside and outside is going to make him it's gonna keep him on the field. You know, like Mike Evans, he's a good outside receiver, but when you're playing on the inside, you gotta be an excellent route runner, because You got to be able to get in those open holes. And with Deshaun, he's a smaller guy. So he's not going to – he doesn't run every route on the route tree that great. He's a burner. And that's his attributes. Post routes, flag routes, go routes, seam routes. That's what he does. But you can have Godwin be that – you can put line him up anywhere. You can move him all over the field, and you can get matchups, mismatches that way. He just – to me, he's just a total package. And it's shown since the day they started minicamp all the way up to now through training camp, this guy's done nothing but shine. Even against the number ones on defense, he's still balling. He's still making plays. So, I mean,
one thing I was really impressed with the draft is, of course, it was a weak offensive line draft, so they didn't draft any offensive linemen. But they got three. They got McNichol, they got Godwin, and of course they got Howard, which was great that dropped him to their left. And all three of those guys can block. All three of them can,
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. I mean, we don't need Adrian Peterson that is just going to sit there and not catch passes and not block anybody when he's he doesn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They were so surprised that they got Howard because he can do everything, where Brace is more of a route runner. But Howard can do everything, and they needed a blocking tight end. And to get the ability that O.J. Howard can bring, the versatility that he can give, that you could put him on almost every on each down. He'd be a three-down tight end.
Yeah.
You could put him
and
in
Brace was
tight
excited.
End. That's very easy.
Bray was excited that he was drafted, too. Bray wasn't like, oh, my gosh, he was very excited about it.
I mean, because Bray is not a blocking tight end. O.J. Howard, that's one of his strengths,
yeah.
Is his blocking ability. So, if a guy is rushing, if a D-end is rushing, that blind side or the side that Howard's blocking for, and let's say Bray is running the route to go, across the line to go that right, there could be he's faster than some linebackers, so he can get open and change first down. So I mean, there's some good things out there, and if you put Doug Martin out on, if you want to give him a toss play and you go to Howard's side and you put maybe Dotson on that side to get the edge, then there's a good chance to possibly get an edge there. So with Howard's versatility and his athletic ability, his route running, his catching ability, his strength, I mean, it was just exactly what, I guess the doctor ordered when it came to what Jameis Winston needed. So, if he was not a blocking tight end, I don't think they would have drafted
him. No.
Yeah, I agree there.
What was great is that they had the 19th pick and they drafted the best player at that. That was available, and that was Howard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, to be a great team, you have to when you start becoming a great team, you start drafting best player available instead of needs, and that's a testament to your depth on the team that you could do that. So, had they had other pressing needs, they probably would have went somewhere else, but because they didn't, they could make a pick like drafting a tight end. So it's a win-win either way, because you didn't have to reach for anybody. So and then also you were still able to get the guy you wanted also in the second round. So I mean,
they have finally corrected some mistakes in the draft during the Shiano year.
Oh, my. Don't mention Shiano. Don't mention Shiano.
when you're able to draft a player like O.J. Howard at 20, around 19 or 20, that's a luxury of drafting well in the prior years. I mean, getting Kwon Alexander, hitting on Winston instead of, I know Derek, we're on the Mariota, Winston debate, but I think Winston so far has worked out a little bit better. So when you don't have to worry about some certain positions and you hit on players not that are not first round picks, then you have the luxury 1 year of saying, you know, we have a good tight end break, but hey, this guy is available, so we'll take him.
Yeah.
So I feel that finally, you know, Jason White is doing well with the draft in the last 2 years.
They wanted targets for Jameis, and they got him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was the deal. And McNichol is one too. So I'm excited to see he was focused on a little bit in Hard Knocks, and I'm excited to see how he might do in the preseason.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see.
It's good, man. And real quick, I want to send a shout out to left field correspondent Carlton Cook. He is listening, and he said that Godwin is the best pick of the whole draft. And he may very well be, at the end of this season, the best pick of the draft, because I think he may have the biggest impact.
Hey, guys, I gotta head out. So,
all right.
Thank you. And Derek, we will talk soon.
Yeah, man.
I'll be on next week as well.
All right, Nicholas Lamb, appreciate you calling in, and we'll talk to you later, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. That was Nicholas Lane, Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA insider, and also, hey, NFL. He's a diehard NFL and Buccaneers fan. So he's a jack of all trades, but he had to take care of some things, had a family dinner to get to, so I wanted to get him in a little early to talk a little bit of NBA. And, you know, we have a caller here on the line who wanted to talk Bucks, and as you've seen, he jumped right in and was very, very good covering the NFL. A lot of you guys didn't know that, but I did, because I talked to Nicholas Lane a lot, you know, personally about football. So I know he knows what he's talking about. But we getting ready to take a break here. Caller, if you want to stay on for a little bit longer, we can come back and continue this conversation after we get back from this break.
Sure.
So, all right, so we're going to take a break, and we'll get back with more Rat Pack Sports Show live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, and also Simulcast and FM 102.1, Governor's Park, downtown Denver, Colorado. We will be back after this.